Welcome to The Growth Machine, your backstage pass to the minds behind today's most successful digital marketing agencies. Each episode, we unpack real-world playbooks for scaling revenue, delighting clients, and building cultures that last. The Growth Machine is powered by Dream Giant, the partner that sparks qualified interest, turns leads into signed contracts, and nurtures a loyal tribe of eager buyers. Ready to think bigger? Hit play and let's dream giant. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Growth Machine. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving holiday. I am here with Kristen Cellier, the founder and CEO of Ideate Agency. How are you doing, Kristen?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Shane.
Awesome. Yeah, of course. Of course. By the way, love the name. It took me a minute when I looked at it. I was like, it's an interesting name for an agency. And then I said it out loud and I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Very fun. So why don't you tell me a little bit about Ideate? I always say I think you do a much better job than I ever would.
Oh, well, Ideate is a specialized branding agency. And the name itself, I was actually at an AIGA conference and there was a copyright attorney talking about ideation. And on the plane ride back, we were operating under my last name. And on the plane ride back, I was like, ideate. I love that word. And I have came up with a mark on the way back. And that was 2008-09. We changed the name to that. And we really specialize in helping organizations find their voice. And we do that through research and evidence and help board of directors and C-levels really understand and have the information. So when they are making decisions around brand, it's the right decision for them to meet their business objectives.
Gotcha. And so you primarily working with C-suite and the owners at these companies or?
Usually they're involved because their vision is important to be a part of that process. And we find it's 100% failure rate if the vision caster is not involved in the process. So we like our projects to be successful. So the visionary needs to be involved in the process because we're taking that vision and then applying that to the brand. And without that voice in the room and that person a part of that process, it makes it really difficult to present findings and concepts and recommendations, you know, that if they're not there, then they're not going to really understand why we're making those recommendations. We make it a point that if they can't be a part of the process, that we won't take on that project because we don't want it to be a failure.
Got it. I'm sure you guys had to learn that along the way.
Yes, hard lessons. Yeah. Hard.
Do you guys usually get pushback on it? I feel like having the vision, like the visionary would be all over it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's usually about time. What's my time commitment? And we have that nailed down too. So they understand, hey, what I'm getting myself into. You know, when you hire someone, you're thinking, oh, they're going to do this for me right now. I don't have to do it. But in this scenario, it's very much we're taking what's in the head and the hearts and the minds of the leader or leaders and putting that into vision, into visual. And that's really difficult to do if you don't have those people at the table. And their time commitment is not huge, but it's at very specific points. So as long as they understand how much time commitment they're going to have to make, and it's really around 6 hours total in this 6 month process. It's not a lot of time, but as long as they understand what that is, they're ready. They understand it and then can move forward.
Got it. Okay, cool. And so what would you say is the typical like journey? Like you bring on a new client, right? And you see this research component and obviously the actual branding work. So like from when somebody comes on to when that initial project is complete, what is that journey like for the customer?
From the beginning?
Sure. As much as you're willing to share.
Yeah. So I was just meeting with a new client and we're not doing a rebranding for them, but we're working on their fleet of vehicles. And so the company is Georgia Landscape. I just finished a discovery meeting. And what it is once we have decided this is the direction we're going to go in and they've decided on the project, we send them a questionnaire. So they have pre-work, they have homework before we get started. And it's really 12 to 14 questions based on the company, who their competitors are. If they had an elevator pitch, what would it be? what are their advantages and disadvantages in the marketplace? If they, you know, could be like another company, who would they be? And so we ask questions like that for them to answer. And then we review that. We review all the additional research that we have uncovered, and then come to that meeting with deeper questions. And then we have a discovery meeting where we go through and ask them deeper questions around their answers. And then we dive into things like the visuals, what their preferences are, what recommendations we have. We ask them about their business objectives. And that's really what that meeting comes down to, is where is the company going in the next 6 months to 18 months? What do you see as a success? Really making sure that we understand that. And then they have a platform to really give us all the answers, because that is really our question asking meeting, and we're pulling out of their head and out of their experiences, and then be able to create a roadmap for the brand moving forward. And so that's really where it starts. And then we have typically 10 business days for concepts and 2 to 3 business days for revision. So then 10 business days later, we'll be presenting the concepts, and then we go through and include 3 rounds of revisions. And so we get their feedback. We have a few days to make revisions, and we go through 3 rounds of that, and then deliver the final product for them.
That's awesome. Very cool. Do you ever get pushback on people filling out the initial form, or like people miss it by the onboarding call?
Yeah. And then we just go through the questions in the meeting.
Yeah. I find that all the time. I would say I send that first questionnaire, and I would say like maybe half of them fill it out, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I just didn't have time. It's like, okay, that's fine. Do you have an extra half an hour for this call then? So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally get it. And who would you say is like your ideal customer? So who finds the most success with you?
I would say I'm just going to use Matt as the example from Georgia Landscape. He's been in business since 1993. He's built a company of about 50 to 60 individuals. He's focused on doing the right thing. You know, he's tried before to, you know, during hard times, maybe skimp on some things. And he's realized that, you know, you have to have the big picture in mind. You have to have the long-term results in mind versus short-term. And so I think it takes a person who's experienced ups and downs of business and understands where the true value lives, and they believe in their employees, they believe in their team, and they also want to make a difference. So, you know, these are people that have families, they're involved in the community. Their business is part of their life, but not their life, and they want to make a difference, and they really surround themselves with experts, and those are the best kinds of clients.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I think work-life balance for your clients is so important, like knowing they have other stuff going on just besides the business, because then, you know, I find that clients who, like, literally the only thing they got going for them, they don't have a family, hobbies, whatever, they're just blowing you up all the time, right? Micromanaging, asking every little question too. So it's like good for your mental health as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So kind of tell me, you know, what is the growth plan right now? So how are you bringing in those ideal customers?
So I was just looking at our dashboard this morning with my sales team, and we have a dashboard we look at each week, and we track referrals, we track estimates and sales. And that KPI is the number one KPI for us to make all of our business results. So we track on 3 referrals a week. If we get 3 referrals a week, everything else is going to happen. So we work really hard to get referrals. And we do that through networking. We do that by calling partners that we work with. We have meetings with our customers on a regular basis. And we are, you know, try to be involved in the community and community organizations as well. We also do SEO. And now people are calling it search everywhere. There's about 10 different names, I think, for that. But we obviously do SEO and content creation for ourselves so that we can be found online. We do LinkedIn thought leadership pieces to be found in LinkedIn, because we do business with other business owners, and that's the best place for us to be found. So between those 3 efforts, that's really how we get new business. And I used to stay up late at night and just be like, oh my gosh, if we lose this client, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And, you know, you feel handcuffed to clients. And once I worked with a business consultant and we came up with this dashboard, I started realizing this isn't, you know, luck. This is structure and this is a system in place. And so I have a system to get referrals and I just follow the system. And if I'm low, I know I need to ramp up the system. But man, it's crazy how that very simple way is how we reach our goals in terms of scaling and growing.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've never heard somebody have such a rigorous system for referral generation, right? I think a lot of people are just like, oh, they'll come in when they come in, you know? I guess if you're willing to share, tell me a little bit about your whole referral engine.
So I am part of an organization called Power Core, and there's an organization called BNI that most people are familiar with. I was in Power Core for 12 years, and Power Core is you meet weekly with a group of people, and our team was about 24 people, and it's a closed network. So there's only one person in each seat. And you wanted to give referrals, you wanted to receive referrals, and you were able to show your ability to be responsible and do your job well by showing up each week on time, taking on leadership responsibilities, and then outside of the meeting, getting to know the members of the team and visitors of the team. In the first year, just with that one networking group, I brought on 25 new clients.
Wow, and that's amazing.
And so it's a commitment to whatever you're involved with. You know, I think people get involved in networking and they think I'm going to show up to a few meetings and I'm going to get referrals. It is not how it works. You have to prove yourself no matter what organization you're in. And so currently I'm involved in ProVisors, which is a national network of business consultants who have 10 years plus years of experience. That's been great. We meet once a month. There's a meeting that you do additionally called a Troika with two other members, three people. And then that organization, you have the ability to be involved in other groups that are specific to industries or channels of business. So I'm in the mergers and acquisitions. I'm in the women's. I've been you can guest in different regions. So I can guest in California. There's multiple California chapters that I have guested at during COVID specifically. And then that's really the broad networking. And now I'm involved in a few other organizations, Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. That group I'm involved with, and that specifically in one of our niche industries that we work in. So that's where we're meeting the manufacturing clients that we work with. And then I'm also involved with GWBC. The national chapter is called WBENC. It's a Women's Business Enterprise National Council. And then the GWBC is the region, Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And the great thing about this organization is there's around, in our chapter, around 900 women business enterprises. So that's companies like me that are women-led. And then the goal of the organization is for larger organizations to hire diversely owned companies so that you get a seat at the table with these large businesses. So in the summer, I got to sit at Home Depot's table, Cargill's table, Denny's table, all these large organizations that have a desire to bring in a diverse group of contractors to help them do work. So it gets you a seat at the table whereas you may not have normally gotten it. But those are some of my ways that I do that. And I attend the meetings. I take volunteer responsibility. I try to take volunteer leadership responsibilities and then try to always to show up early and stay late for that to maximize that networking. And then in between, meet people and get to know them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, I used to be a part, in my past life, I was a filmmaker, right? And so I was in my past life, but before I started digital marketing. And there was this event that I used to go to. And, you know, you're right, the people who were referring, you know, jobs to them, whatnot, were the ones who were giving presentations and asking questions during meetings. It's like, you have to make sure that you're really, really involved to get what you need and, you know, and really help other people during those meetings. So I totally get it. So what would you say is kind of the biggest issue right now with what you guys are doing? I mean, it's a really sound plan, but, you know, is it providing the amount of meetings that your team could handle? Could your team handle more?
Oh, I would love to have more. And I think right now, there's this toxic uncertainty in the business world, and the inclusion of AI now has a lot of CEOs and leaders really overwhelmed with all the decisions to be made. Number one, do I hold onto my money? You know, because is the market seems a little bit shaky. What am I going to pull back on now? I think I'll pull back on marketing. It's a non-necessity. And then three, what do we do with this AI? Can we use AI instead of bringing in agencies, marketers, advertisers, SEO? You know, can, you know, all the media is telling me I can just pay this company and they're going to do this for me and, you know, and then it's done. And so with economic uncertainty and the unknown and overwhelm of all the AI ads, basically saying you're stupid if you're not using AI, it's really hard for us to break through that. So what we're doing is we're changing our offerings a little bit to help the brand work be AI enabled. So what I mean by that is giving people the tools to be able to use what we're working on and plug that into their own AI. Like for me, I love to use Perplexity, so Spaces. And I think in ChatGPT, you have a bunch of different GPTs. But to be able to take that, you know, creativity and work and research and apply it to those different channels so they can create some of their own marketing. But, you know, more meetings would always be good. And it just seems like there's a lot of dilution in our industry right now. And, you know, really, is it really necessary anymore? And that's what I think CEOs are wondering or thinking.
Yeah.
You know, because they're for profit.
Yeah. You know, I watched this interesting video and it's like actually CEOs are getting like really pressured into optimizing with AI. And I think AI is good, like with very low level things, you know, like for clients, we'll maybe use AI to create like a quick logo, right? But for like an entire branding campaign, you can't rely on AI for that. You know, it's ridiculous. Like it's just not there yet. And, you know, I don't know if it ever will be, but there's like a level of creativity for these bigger projects you just can't get out of a robot right now.
Well, it's not ownable either. Yeah. So, you know, you have to own your brand. And if you can't own it, anybody else can use it.
Yep.
So it's kind of like using a template website. You know, if you have a template website and you have a roofing company, your next door neighbor can go and find the same template and copy your website because you don't own it. So you don't have any claim to that. So that's part of the problem is anything the AI creates isn't ownable because a person didn't create it.
Yep.
And therefore, you have no way to protect yourself or build that brand without anyone taking it over. So that's a big part of it that I don't think people understand.
Yep. Makes a lot of sense to me. Well, Kristen, you know, I have one more question for you. I'm trying to get more unique with my final questions. So here it goes. What would you say is the number one indicator that a company needs a brand refresh or just new branding in general?
I would say if they haven't looked at their brand for the last 5 years, they need to evaluate it. The rate at which technology and the business world is changing since 2020 is significantly increased. And our products and services are changing. And although it doesn't feel like it after a year, if you look back 3 to 5 years, there's significant change in your products and services that are offered. So I recommend an audit and have an outside consultant, a third party, come in and look at your brand to feel, number one, if it's current. Number two, is it clear? And is it correct? Those are all very important things because, you know, in a period of time, it can be, you know, not correct anymore. And we have to do the same thing. We do the same thing for ourselves. So it's important to evaluate and also bring the outside person to evaluate, because when you're so close to your business, you start to become blind to certain things. And having that outside party helps you see things that you maybe have forgotten about or aren't placing importance on that really could be a differentiator.
Gotcha. I love it. Perfect answer. Well, thank you so much, Kristen, for joining. Anybody who wants to learn more about ID8, you're going to be able to find their website in the podcast description. Again, thanks so much.